We were talking about these emotional centers. Let's get right back to it. I think the last one we're talking about is near the heart and the breastbone. Go ahead, Mona Lisa.
And then the fifth light on your emergency dashboard is having a voice. And when your thyroid, your neck, your throat gives you trouble, this area signals that you're having trouble with communication. And on your intuitive warning dashboard, when you have problems with your brain, your eyes, or your ears, this area signals that you're having trouble with how you see the world and how you think. And then finally, the last light on your warning signal, symptom, has to do with life-threatening problems. This has to do with that your purpose in life needs to be attended to. Not only that, but when this signal goes off, it also makes you reevaluate how you have or do not have a relationship with a spiritual life. And
now,
are the seven warning lights on your intuitive dashboard.
Now, when these lights go off, how do you know they're going off?
You get symptoms in your body of distress, whether it's first one is rashes, second one, lower back pain, third is weight gain, fourth is heart palpitations, fifth is sore throat, sixth is headaches, seventh is a life-threatening illness. All seven of them can give you symptoms of illness.
Okay. You know what? And then how do you address it once these things are occurring?
Well, you get the symptoms, and you go to a physician, and you get a diagnosis. You go to a practitioner, you get a diagnosis. But then you're left to find out what is the meaning behind it. What is your body signaling you have to change?
And does the practitioner generally pick up on this? I mean, let's assume all this is happening, and you go to them and say, you know, I think there's something wrong with my heart. 9 out of 10 times, I'm assuming something's going to show up, isn't it?
If you continue, this is a perfect example. A woman called me recently for a reading, and she's in a difficult marriage.
Okay.
And she has digestive problem after digestive problem after digestive problem. She goes to her internal medicine doctor, who sends her to a gastroenterologist. They scope her, you know, the endoscopy from above and the colonoscopy from below. Either way, it's going to be a scope of some kind. And they don't see anything. But it doesn't mean that everyone doesn't see her going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Everyone knows she's got a problem. And it's because she works for her husband, who she's going through a divorce with. Hello?
Yep.
So everyone knows what the stressor is, and everyone sees how it results. She's running to the bathroom. And she says to me, you know, it's like preventing me from going to work. I said, hello? Exactly. Don't work with your husband who you're going through a divorce with.
So what did she do? Did she find a different
job?
She
said, but I have to. I said, no, you don't. That's your problem.
She felt
stressed. Your body's telling you, you can't. And she said, but I don't know how to say no. I said, that's the next step. You would need to learn how to say no to your husband, which is the reason why you're going through a divorce in the first place. But your body knows how to say no. It pulls you out of the office by going to the bathroom. In fact, that's the only way that you can say no. Is the only sanctioned way you can say no is going to the bathroom. She got it. So I gave her some tools. Some cognitive behavioral tools that somebody she can go to learn dialectic behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, on how to have a voice and have a say. So she can say, I don't want to go to work anymore. I think you're important to me, but I simply can't. That's it. Because she's never had bowel problems before.
Do some people pick up on this ability better than others?
Well, you know, I have an intuition academy, and I teach people from all walks of life, whether it's, you know, nurses, physicians, body workers, anybody can learn this. Basically, what you do is you find out how a person's uniquely wired for intuition. Are they right-handed, left-handed, visual, body sense? And you teach them the intuition centers, but then you run them through a bunch of readings, and you teach them how to do readings. But you teach them how readings are done in their own body.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not hard to do. And in fact, people are amazed when they actually can do it.
Well, I'm wondering too, how long does it generally take to teach someone how to do this? Weeks, days, how long?
It to get them to do the phenomena, to demonstrate a reading, about 3 days.
That's
to get
good.
Them to do it proficiently, it takes a very long time. But to get someone to be able to, with a name and the age of someone, this is what I do on the phone, with a name and the age of someone, after you sign a consent form that acknowledges we're not having a physician-patient relationship, I teach them, I describe a specific emotional situation in someone's life that I see aggravates their health. And then, knowing only their name and their age, and remember now, they sign a consent form that this is not going to give them a diagnosis, they're not going to get prescribed treatment, this is medical intuition.
Okay.
I describe their physical body. Head, eyes, ears, neck, thyroid, heart, breast, lungs, every organ system in the form of symptoms. And the way that I see it are various symptoms in their body, like that dashboard warning light, are part of their body's intuitive guidance system that let them know that something in their emotional life is out of balance. I give them a host of solutions that they can go back to their physician on how to fix the problem. In the Intuition Academy, I teach people with a name and the age how their body's wired. So the first day, they just get the name and the age of someone, and they don't even see the person. And they get visions, sights, sounds. They put it on a piece of paper. They draw what they see. They put it down. And I show through the misses, the hits, how their intuition is wired. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
I used to do a dead person first.
What
so
do you
I
mean?
Used to put, believe me, because it's not hard to get the consent of someone to read who's dead. So I used to put a picture of Elvis Presley in an envelope. And I'd say, who's there? Who's in the envelope? Tell me. And I'd say, don't guess. Once you guess, you're not in the right brain. You're in the left brain if you say President Bush, because you've got a name. That's it. You can't do anything. So people would say, white. I see white outfit. And the picture of Elvis Presley was in a white jumpsuit.
Okay.
So it's like they see something. And so you get them to hone in on more and more details because the right brain is a gestalt. It's the overall. But someone else would say Southern accent.
Well, it sounds almost like remote viewing, too, isn't it?
That's exactly right. They're doing remote viewing. But then you'd have them go through the emotional centers and start to do the person's health. Someone would say overdose. Another person would say lonely. Someone else said blue shoes. I mean, it would be remarkable how people would get pieces. But what you do is you take all the pieces of everyone in the room and you get a complete reading. Blue shoes, overdose. Someone would say, I see two pictures, one image and then another. It's like their body changed. And it was like there was the old Elvis and then the new Elvis.
Right.
It was like, but then, so that's a dead person who's got a big energy because Elvis is obviously the king.